Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Fucking delightful. Delightful. Fucking good combination play. Sliding balls into space. Good. Excellent. Have another fucking run.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Water Report podcast in association with the Sunderland Community Soup Kitchen. It's Gav back after Sunderland's 3-1 away win at Queen's Park Rangers. Delighted to say that because there was times in the game where I felt that it wasn't going to be our afternoon, but the quality, as I said on the preview, in the end was what separated the two teams, and Sunderland in the end got the 3 points that they deserved. So happy days here to talk about with Chris again. Hiya, mate.
Yes, happy days. First away win, seventh in the league. Happy days.
Doesn't get much better than that, does it? I mean, we might as well go right into it because it was a pretty eventful game, wasn't it? But as I said, it did feel for a period there that it wasn't going to be our day. It was up until the 19th minute and perhaps even a little bit beyond that, it just felt like exactly what I predicted might happen if QPR were going to win. They were slowing us down. They were sitting behind the ball. They got it wasn't a set piece, it was a throw-in. I don't know if they count as set pieces, but the goal came from that kind of situation where the ball was hoid into the box and bounced around a bit, and you're just thinking, bloody hell, just not going to be our day-to-day. But then, out of seemingly nowhere, Jack Colback decides to get himself sent off. And, I mean, you couldn't write the script, really, but he gets himself sent off, totally changes the flow of the game, gives us a little bit of a pep in our step, but even still, for most of the first half, we're bouncing around and we're thinking, we're not creating enough. Begovic maybe wasn't getting tested enough. Then right before half-time, we get a goal. And then second half, it was plain sailing from there. And it was all Sunderland. And as we sit here now, we're another 3 points up, sitting seventh in the table, like you say, which is a good indicator of the start we've had, that we're so high up in the table. And yeah, just a brilliant, brilliant performance and win in the end, wasn't it, Chris? I mean, happy days, right? I mean, like I said, I keep saying happy days, but if you're going to win away from home and you're going to have to overcome a bit of adversity, that's the way to do it, isn't it?
I was just about to say, you kind of called it a little bit when you said in the end, because it was that's how it was. I mean, it was it was like playing Wickham all over again, wasn't it, to start with?
It was like a League One game, wasn't it? It was.
It took you right back to those games where we used to go to Wickham and play those horrible games and all that sort of stuff. But we've got better players now, and that's kind of how it turned out. And I think actually I was thinking early on that actually we did a bit too well on the preview, because actually I think to start with we both called it kind of right, exactly right, how it was going to go, wasn't it? I mean, it doesn't take a genius, though, because everyone knows what Gareth Ainsworth's like. I think, like I said on the preview, they had averaged 33% possession over the first five
games.
It's
a mouthful for you.
I've been practicing. But but yeah, that first goal, it was weird, because I don't know if you noticed it on the stream, but it was about a minute before. It might have actually been when Ballard kind of went off on the sidelines, but the camera went to the sidelines and it went to Gareth Ainsworth, and just in the background, I don't know if you noticed, Patrick Roberts was he was waving Pritchard back, and I thought, but he was kind of really giving it some, and I thought, oh, there's something not quite right here, because Patrick Roberts was really kind of gesturing to someone to run back, and then you saw Pritchard when it panned back out, sprint back to the thing, and I thought, oh, something's up. And then that was off the throw-in, which actually should have been a free kick, really, because he shoved, Armstrong shoved Ballard kind of right into the advertising ordinance at the side of the pitch. So that should have been a free kick. I mean, I don't understand why the referee wasn't clamping down on that. But anyway, so when the ball's played in, there's a header at the front post, and then it loops up. And if you see, it's almost Ekwer kind of underneath it. Whereas if he was fully fit, he'd have been challenging for that ball, and he didn't. I just don't think he could manage it. And then it kind of, we lost that second header, and then it fell to the edge of the box, and he kind of took the lead. But at that point,
goal though. I know it was a good finish. Disappointing the way that they scored, but it was a good finish.
It was horrible defending, and it was Ainsworth QPR doing the long throw in, which.
Yeah,
you know, they do what they do and they get things from it. But it was a good finish. It was a really good finish. But like I said, it there was Ekwer, there was that thing, just, you know, he couldn't quite get to the ball. And yeah, I mean, at that point, I thought, I was going back to our preview and I was thinking, oh, you know, QPR have got that thing to hold on to. And, you know, where we said, oh, this, and I just thought, this is going to be a stinking afternoon now, where it's going to be down to us. It's going to be attack against defence, and they're going to just, you know, pack the, and it's going to, and I just thought, oh, we're in for a really long afternoon. But like you said, I mean, yeah, about what, less than 10 minutes later, it was about 6 or 7 minutes later, he, Jack Colback thankfully loses his head.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll roll it back a little bit, because like I said at the top, it was eventful. The game loads went on. 3 minutes in, I think we're going to disagree on this. Penalty shout, Jack Clark carries it through two players. From the angle from behind the goal, the camera angle from behind the goal, I'm not sure. From the camera angle they showed behind, it looks like their number 11 just clatters into the back of him. And if you look at their feet, he stands on the back of Clark's foot. I mean, to be honest, I don't envy the officials in that situation, because they don't have the benefit of that replay being slowed down. In sort of the thick of it, I can see why that didn't get given. But having seen the replay back, I think it was a foul. I do. I think that he stands on the back of Clark's foot as he's clattering into him. And that, but this is maybe one of those occasions where the amount of times Clark goes down in a game counts against him. Because I think officials already have a preconceived notion of what they're going to expect with Jack Clark, because he runs at people. He does go down too easily. And I can totally see why that might have figured into the thinking a little bit, that he does like to go down a little bit too easily. But like I say, I think we've maybe been unlucky there. And I think a couple of minutes into the game, if you get a penalty, it could be 4 or 5, you know, because they're that bad.
Nah, not for me, Jeff.
No.
He burst into the box and he does his thing.
You're harsh when it comes to all this sort of thing compared
to,
you know.
To be honest, it's based on where they're now putting the bar for fouls. I mean, even outside the box, you look at where the bar is now for a foul, where a referee has to blow the whistle. I mean, even look at the Ballard thing we talked about earlier for the throw-in. I mean, if shoving him off the pitch and basically giving him a kick while he's at it isn't a free kick and it's a throw-in, then the Jack Clark thing is nowhere near a penalty for a foul in the box. And for me, it wasn't. It wasn't a penalty. And the other thing as well, I always try and flip it the other side. If we'd conceded a penalty like that, what would I be saying? And I'd be saying it was soft, and I'd be fuming. So for me, nah, wasn't a penalty for me.
I think if, again, in the EFL, that it's not a penalty because there is no benefit of VAR. But I think if there's VAR there, that gets given.
No, I think if the referee doesn't give it, I think they just stick. There's not enough. It's not kind of a nailed on mistake. So they wouldn't have turned it over to the referee.
I suppose it's all changed that, hasn't it? It didn't count in the end anyway. So, you know, it doesn't really matter. But from that, Pierre Ekwer got smacked, didn't he? And that was ultimately what took him off the pitch. I'm not really sure why he went down or what, but he tried to play on. He played on for another 10 minutes or so.
He should have went down. Yeah. Because, well, I think it was more they were trying to sort, because it was so early on, they were trying to sort Pritchard out on the sidelines and get him ready. And this is one of my pet hates about modern day football, where you see subs in the first half, and you know, when there's injuries, and then they have to put their socks on and put their shinnies on and all this sort of stuff. And it's like, for me, they should be ready to go.
Yeah, yeah. But like I say, you know, Ekwer played on for another 10 minutes or so. Like you mentioned before, he was perhaps involved in the goal we conceded, not being able to compete like he normally would. But we got out-battled for that goal. I mean, I know we've already talked about it, but it was a good finish. And yeah, at that point, it felt like, bloody hell, this is going to be one of them days. They had something to hang on to, and they were already clinging on to it from the first minute. They would, you know, even that way where, you know, that way you're on about with Pritchard being down and being seen to, and Edouard hurt, being hurt and all the rest of it. They were just trying to batter us from the first minute. They were leaving something on us every time there was a 50-50 or the ball was running away. And the ref was giving them the decisions. He was letting stuff go, which I can understand one or two, but it was everything through that half. I mean, it's funny, actually, that he even sent Colback off, because I think he got pretty much everything else wrong in the half. He was poor.
Well, you know what it was? I mean, if you looked at the Dan Ballard thing, was exactly that. I mean, how he didn't give that free kick, you know, when he shoved Ballard off of that throw-in. But it was one minute before Jack Colback did what he did. And that was when I think it was Armstrong who left one on 09.
He's just horrible. Just a big lump who can't play and just kicks people about.
He's the new Akinfenwa.
Yes, that's all I could think. He's a perfect Ainsworth striker. He'll play every game this season, even if he doesn't score goals. Horrible to watch. And he was very lucky to stay on the pitch as well, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He could have been off two or three times.
Easy. Well, that's it. But the referee wasn't given this to start with. But you're right. He's exactly what Ainsworth wants up front. He just wants someone to disrupt things, get in the way, get his elbows all over the shop, just knock defenders this way and that. But it was like a minute before when 09 got caught late on. And he got up and he bit. And I'm almost sure. I mean, he obviously had a word with the ref. But I'm almost sure 09, I bet you one of the things he turned around the ref and said is someone's going to get hurt if you don't get a grip of this game. Because the first 20 minutes, the referee just did not get a grip of the game. All of those late tackles, QPR knew exactly what they were doing. And to be fair, we were expecting it. Like, we expected that. Yeah. That's how QPR play. But the first 20 minutes, I'm sure 09, a minute before, said someone's going to get hurt. And that Colback tackle was a direct result of the referee not getting a grip of the game in the first 20 minutes. And I tell you what, that could have ended a 17-year-old's career who's got the whole of his whole career in front of him, just made a big money move. And the way the referee managed things, well, he didn't, basically. He was letting all this go. Like, so he could have gotten seriously hurt. His career could have been over. He could have missed this season. And I'll tell you what, I completely disagree with Pride, the commentator.
Simon Pride,
that's it. And Danny Collins, when they said Colback was unlucky and he was stretching before the
ball.
He knew what he was doing.
Well, back in your day, Danny, that wouldn't have been red card or whatever.
Rubbish.
Yeah, it was poor.
And they said that they thought he was, and to be honest, I completely disagree. I think Colback knew exactly what he was doing. And you looked at his reaction after, and he knew he'd made contact with his ankle, and he didn't stand up. He didn't go to Bellingham or anything, and he knew he just bent, he made full contact with his ankle and could have snapped it. And he didn't make one gesture to go over and say, you're all right, or anything like that. Mm. And I just think he was an absolute disgrace, if I'm honest.
Yeah, well, even before that, like you say, there was a couple of incidents sort of between the Ekwa sub and the red card. Huggins got sent headfirst into the side, Hordens.
Yeah.
Lad played him shoulder, knew exactly what he was doing again.
Hit his head?
Yeah. And a couple of minutes later, the one that you were talking about, it was a terrible foul on 09, right down next to our box. And I've never seen Luke 09 lose his head like that. He was going right off it at the referee, but he had a right to be annoyed. And he was putting three fingers up as if to say that's a third time now where you've just let it go. And like you say, it could have been a lot worse for Bellingham. Thank God it wasn't. But Colback, I mean, if there was an incident to sum that fucker up, it was that. Absolutely useless. And I'm glad in the end justice was served. He got sent off and he was made to walk off in front of the Sunderland fans. There's a lot of history there between him and Sunderland, obviously, and it's been a long time now since he left the club. But I just felt like something was going to happen with him today. I just felt like it was going to be the case. And, you know, what a dick, really. You know, he cost his team the game in the end.
Well, you know what the daft thing was? Actually, on the ball, he actually started off the game well. Like, he was playing well for QPR. And, you know, he completely let his side down. But like I said, to be honest, I mean, I think if any of his teammates see that tackle, they'll be kind of, they'll be having, well, not having words, but that, you know, it's just absolutely ridiculous how he went in. It, there was absolutely no need for it. And like I said, I completely disagree that he was kind of making a play. There was no need to go in for the ball like that.
No.
It was too high. He knew what he was doing. And thankfully, the old, the, him and QPR got punished for it.
Yeah. Next big incident in the game was the disallowed goal from Job. There was a the replay they showed, which wasn't a level angle, so it's difficult to tell. Looked very close. I was edging more towards that might be a goal, but the linesman put his flag straight up, which normally indicates, you know, when a linesman doesn't really think about it, so he's already got in his head that he was offside. I would love to see a better angle, maybe when the photographer's got it. I don't know. But to me, I felt like he was a little bit unlucky there. The commentators said the same, didn't they? They were the same on that. They kind of felt it was perhaps level. A lot of other people said the same. But you're shaking your head. You're a harsh taskmaster, you, Chris.
Well, it for me, you know, when you could see he was in line with the ball. I mean, our very own kind of Martin Wanless, I remember him writing in a piece that someone's freckle on the left testicle was offside over the line, and I think it was about that close. And for me, he was onside. I think it wasn't the best angle, but when they froze it and that frame where you could see where his feet was actually behind, slightly behind where the defender's feet was, and you could maybe argue he might have been leaning, but he was onside for me. And I mean, this is a good place as well to start the Alex Pritchard loving, which I think we should do, because for this goal that was disallowed, he did exactly what he did. We saw him do it three or four times in pre-season, where he took a ball inside, someone gave him the ball from the wing, and he was slightly in that kind of inside channel, not out wide, but slightly inside channel, and he just flicks a ball into the middle. And he did this for him here, right, in pre-season three or four times. And the way he does that, and he creates an opening, and he did that so many times today. And it's one of these games where, you know, you thought away from home, he's come on for Ekwa, you know, against a team who just smashing into us. You would think, oh, we need a player who's going to win the ball. And I tell you what, Alex Pritchard came on today and he was absolutely brilliant. He created so much against a side who were just going to dig in and just defend on the edge of their box. And we needed Alex Pritchard today.
He looked focused. He looked like a player who didn't have doubts about his future hanging over him. I mean, to be honest, Pritchard, when he's came on at times this season, I think he's been good. I think he's done well, but he definitely looked like he was playing without, I wouldn't say without pressure, but maybe just without stuff going on in the background, he's focusing on his football. It looked like he had a point to prove, really, because now that doubt about his future isn't there, he needs to earn his place in the team, doesn't he? And like on the basis of what we saw in this game, I mean, he's got to start on Wednesday night, you would think. I mean, he was fantastic. As you said, he created so much. And you've got to give him credit for that, because the way QPR played, where they basically just had 10 men inside the box at all times, it's nearly impossible to find gaps in space. And he done it time and time and time again. It was like him and Job just had this really good connection. They were on the same wavelength all the way through. And I was gutted Job didn't actually get a goal in the end, like, you know, like an official one that counts for something, because he was just in the right place all the time. He knew where Pritchard was going to put the ball. And I totally agree with you. I think Andy gave him man the match on the site, Pritchard. And right. I mean, there were some good performances in this game, particularly in the second half, but I don't think you can look past Pritch. I thought he was brilliant. And we'll come on to Barr, obviously, when we talk about his goal, but it's exactly what I've been saying about the competition for places. This is what you want to see. Players who were on the side there are now getting chances and taking them. And now when you're Tony Mowbray, you're like, bloody hell, who do I pick? And it's like such a good problem to have. Dak's been injured. Ekwa's then got injured. That's allowed Pritchard into the team. He comes on him, turns in the man the match performance. And you've got to stand there and go, brilliant. That's exactly what you want.
Yeah, you're exactly right, though, about in games like this. I mean, you need that player to just kind of unlock a pass through and just kind of unlock a defense when they're just sitting there and we can't get through. And that's what he provided, because it was 10 minutes later when he did the same again and he knocked it in and it was to the back post and Job tried that side foot, which he completely just miskicked and it went out for a goal kick. And I mean, Job will be absolutely, I mean, he actually looked gutted when he came off, because I think he knew he had some chances to get one or two goals today. And that one, like I said, 10 minutes later, that went to the back post. I think Job should have scored that. So, but yeah, I mean, the thing about Pritchard though, and we might come on to when we talk about the Blackburn game, but it's almost like saying, you know, when we're talking about Pritchard starting games, is he that type of player who is better used when teams are tiring, or, you know, and we kind of bring him on with, you know, in the second half or something like that? Or do you think just because of his performances, does he deserve a starting place? And I mean, just on the basis of this, you almost have to say, well, he's earned his place. I mean, he's been good in every single game. He turned this game by just kind of creating chance after chance after chance. So for me, I think as much as I can see the use of him later on in games, I think to not start him is a bit off, to be honest.
I think he's always better in games where we're just totally on top. Like, and this that was obviously the case here. I think when teams have spells where they're going back and forth with us and it's sort of end to end, that's maybe where he kind of goes into his shell a little bit because it doesn't suit him. But when you've got a team like QPR just sitting in their own box, letting you have the ball, like, you know, he's perfect in that. But he's not the only one who's perfect in that situation. We've got a team full of players who are like that, who just love being on the ball. And I thought that perhaps one of the biggest mistakes QPR made actually after the red card was just sitting in, because we were gonna get something. I know it's easy. It you look at it and you think they're the type of team who were gonna sit in anyways, and they had a lead to protect. But I just think that we had too much quality on the pitch. It was never gonna last 90 minutes. And maybe Ainsworth's mentality was sort of damage limitation at that point. Like, let's try our best to sit in and just see if we can keep the score down. But if that was me, I would have probably been a bit more ambitious, purely because it was inevitable what happened would eventually happen for me. I look at the players we had on the pitch and we were always going to find a way eventually.
Yeah, well, I think, to be honest, I think they were just trying to get into half-time, still in the lead. And it's one of them cases where I think he just went, look, let's just defend. We've got something, let's just defend what we've got and we'll reorganise at half-time. And it would have been completely different had we not getting that goal. But the other thing was as well, the other thing that he was probably hanging on to as well, in that first half, we looked incredibly shaky when we were defending set pieces. Every corner, QPR seemed to be kind of getting on top of us. Long throw-ins seemed to be a bit of a problem. Any kind of high balls into the box were causing us big problems. And I think he just thought, well, we've got a 1-0 lead. Let's just dig in until we get that set piece and we can maybe nick another one or whatever. But yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't think he had much choice with the team he's got. But the other thing, just going back quickly to the kind of Pritchard playing the balls over the box and that kind of connection you were talking about with Job, is that, I mean, you've got someone like Pritchard and you say we've got quite a lot of players now to play that pass, but then what you need is those runners. Now, it was interesting that every time Pritchard played one of these balls, that it was Job on the end of it. And if you looked at the positions he was taking up, and he made a run in the second half as well, in behind the defender to get in behind, he makes the type of runs that you expect a kind of an established striker to make. And he's always he picks up space that we watch him burst though, obviously, in the kind of first half. And I think obviously needs time to find his feet and all that sort of stuff. But it would be almost, Bellingham was picking up the positions that you'd almost think Burstow would be picking up being the striker.
Yeah.
But I mean, I just think that the runs that and the positions that Joe picks up, being kind of 18-year-old, and just, it's just absolutely ridiculous, and being an attacking midfielder. But yeah, like you said, it was like that for the rest of the first half, and well, until kind of kind of in extra time, we finally got back level.
Yeah, well, I actually thought that when they announced the minutes added on, that we'd been done short there. They said 8 minutes. I was thinking it would be more 10 or 11 just because we barely seemed to have the ball in play in the first half. But we cracked on. And like you say, the goal that we got was, you know, I wouldn't say that we showed any real quality. Bit of fortune, really, wasn't it? Clark cuts inside, gets the shot away. I think it was Huggins who played the ball and gets the shot away. And Steve Cook, if he doesn't do what he does, Begovic collects it calmly and they go in 1-0. But Steve Cook sticks his head out, deflects past Begovic into the back of the net. And I just don't think there's a better time to score a goal when you're behind than the last minute of injury time at the end of the first half, because it changes everything, you know? I mean, Mowbray will probably come out and say, well, I would have probably told them the same thing, same sort of things. But in terms of the mentality of both groups of players and coaches, it totally changes everything, because we go in, we've got a pep in our step, we've got the momentum. They're probably thinking, get in, we're going into half-time ahead here, having protected the lead a bit, gone down to 10 men. All of a sudden, it throws it up in the air and we're level, and they're thinking, shit, what do we do now? Totally changes everything in terms of the mentality. And I mean, we saw the result of that straight away in the second half. I mean, as a half of football, and I know you've got to caveat it by saying that QPR are a team who don't want the ball anyways. They were down to 10 men. You have got to caveat it with that. But that was about as good as I've seen us play a half of football. We were just brilliant. From the first second of that second half right till the end, it was like we were enjoying ourselves. We were just playing football and going out and trying things. And we knew we were better than them. I think that was the thing. We were playing with a swagger. We played like we sort of owned the place. And that's a hallmark of a good side, that when you can do that, when you can just go and play with your chest puffed out and think, we've got enough about us, we're going to batter these. Because that's the way we approached it. We were just so good. So, so good. I mean, it was almost, the tone was kind of set by the change that Mowbray made, wasn't it? Because he took Huggins off at half-time, brought on Patrick Roberts, so he took a defender off for a winger, which basically said, we're just going to pummel yous, we're going to attack yous, wave after wave of it. We knew that they weren't going to come at us, so we thought, well, why play with that extra defender? Let's get Roberts on, who is such a good player. Let's get him on, let's get at them. And it set the tone, that change, for me, and it meant, from a mentality standpoint, we were going to go out and really get at them.
just as you were talking there, I scribbled down the word mentality, and then you used it at the end, because it was exactly right, though. Because I mean, just going back to the goal straight before half time, because that was kind of obviously the start of it. But that is Jack Clark in a nutshell, because for that first half, he was so frustrating to watch, and I imagine for himself, he was getting frustrated. But the best thing about Jack Clark is, and we see performances like this from him where, you know, just nothing seems to be coming off and he's having one of those days. But you know what? With Jack Clark, even when he's having these days, he never shies away from getting the ball. Next second, if he's lost it, 2 minutes later, he's asking for it again. He wants to go again. He wants to have another go. And it wasn't coming off for him at all in the first half. And, you know, it was getting frustrating. And then he cuts inside and gets... But the thing is, he makes his own luck by cutting inside and just hammering one. And that, it just, it can happen. You know, if you smash one into the, you know, towards the goal, and there's three defenders in front of you, who knows what's going to happen. And he made his own luck in the end. But that was kind of the mentality of the team. We could have just ended up being really frustrated after that first half and heads going down and all this. It's never going to happen. But like you said, that change at halftime from Mowbray, I thought was a stroke of genius, because a lot of managers would have just brought Barr off and thrown Roberts on. But he went three at the back. And the best thing about, and he clearly had a word about what he wanted Barr and Clark to do wide, because with them having 10 men, what they wanted more than anything else was the game to be narrow right down the centre of the pitch. But what he did with Barr and Clark was pulled them, as he just basically said, you hug the touch lines, because then that stretches out the QPR's team completely.
Yeah.
Because they need to just stretch out wide. They want everything to be in that central third of the pitch. But by keeping Barr on and saying, hug the touchline, and keeping Clark on and saying, you do your thing on the other touchline, QPR just had to spread out. And mm-hmm. there wasn't enough of them to kind of cope with us. And then you stick Patrick Roberts into the mix and play him in the centre with Pritchard. And like you said, we just completely took control. And you've got to give credit to Mowbray for making that change, because there's not a lot of managers who do that. They'd go like for like. Oh, you know, we need four at the back just in case, bomb their full backs on or something like that. And I thought it was brilliant. And like you said, that second half performance just completely and utterly controlled. I mean, 5 minutes in, I wrote the notes attack versus defence, because basically that's what we turned it into.
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest recipient of positivity from the Roberts sub was Barr, because I thought first half Barr played poor, if I'm honest, but it was mainly because he just didn't have enough support down the right-hand side. So when he was picking the ball up and he was getting it in loads of space, there weren't bodies around him. And I don't think he's the type of player who thrives on sort of getting past the fullback down the outside and whipping it in. He's not that type of player. So once we, like you say, pushed him further wide, because he was playing like a wing back, and he had Patrick Roberts coming in and helping him and, you know, receiving the ball and doing the one. There was a couple of 1-2s in that second half between them two, where if it had resulted in a goal, you would have been buzzing. But I thought Barr was brilliant second half. It was a total different performance to the first half, where I felt like he just didn't have enough help, really. But like you say, it was just dominance from that point, really. I've just, in my notes, it's just all Sunderland. There's nothing QPR did in that second half that stood out. It was just all us. It was just wave after wave of attack. We could have, on another day, had 6 or 7 goals. And, you know, that's got to be... When you're going away from home and you're having that much of the ball and creating that many chances, it can only be setting you up for a good season, really. We've really just carried on from where we left off last year. After a bumpy start, this is the type of performance we were seeing every week towards the end last year. But it feels better somehow, just because we've got more players now with that kind of ability to cut teams open. Like, Job has added something. Pritchard last year didn't have a great season, but this year he looks better. So it's just, it all seems to be meshing quite well at the minute. And like I say, that second half, it was just wave after wave. If I was going to say I was disappointed with anything, maybe we didn't get Burstow into the game enough. I don't know whether that was just his first game and maybe a bit of nerves, or maybe him not playing with them, playing with the freedom he ordinarily would, or maybe will when he's had a run of games. Didn't really get him into the game despite the dominance. You know, generally speaking, though, it was all us. And then when we got that second goal, it was coming a mile off, wasn't it? I think we'd had, in the 5 minutes preceding that, we'd probably had 6 or 7 chances before we'd even scored.
But it was the change. The change did it. Because if you think in that first half, we had half an hour where they were down to 10 men. But we didn't look half as good in the rest of the first half as we did in the second. And this is where I think the genius of Mowbray's change, and also just he had a word with the players as well. And I don't think we've seen as a controlled performance as that for a while. Because like you said, we did see it in sort of glimpses last season, but I'm not sure it was quite as controlled as this was. And then, you've got to caveat by saying, yes, it was down, we were playing against 10 men. But the thing is, sometimes you play against 10 men and you struggle to break them down. And we just didn't. You just thought it was coming, and you just thought it was a matter of time. And I do feel a bit sorry for Burstow, because he came off after an hour. And if you think that first half, I mean, that first half was just, it was a horrible first half. I mean, that was QPR dragging the game down to their levels and where they wanted the game and how they wanted the game to be. So you've got to feel sorry for Burstow, because they kind of just, you know, dug their trenches on the edge of the box, and we didn't quite have a game plan to kind of play against that. We needed that halftime break. And then afterwards, I mean, like I said, he only had about 15 minutes of the second half. So it was just after we kind of went 2-1 up. And the other thing as well, he looked like he tightened up with cramp and all that sort of stuff. So you can see he needs games, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. But he'll get into it. I mean, I just think he's a good player. So look, let's give him some time. But for an away performance, just in that second half, to be so controlled against 10 men, because it's not always like that. So to do what we did, and in the manner that we did it, it like you said, is going to set us up for another away game coming up.
Well, the last two goals, we'll go over them quickly. Ballard's goal came from a nice little spell of football, wasn't it? We had a corner, got cleared. There was a bit of a give and go between Pritchard and Roberts, and then Pritchard got a shot away, which actually was a really, really good save by Begovic, I thought, from sort of close range. And then it just diverted into the path of Ballard. I think one of their players was switched off completely and had played him onside. Right place, right time to just tap it in. He celebrated it like it was a cup final winner, didn't he? You know, went absolutely mental, slid into the corner of the lot. But I'm, you know, over the moon for Ballard to get a goal, obviously. But like I say, it was coming, wasn't it? And then it was funny because after we scored that, the attitude from Mowbray was similar to sort of the half-time attitude, and that we just, you know, we were really positive with the changes we made. And it was more of the same. He was bringing on more attacking players as the game went on. He brought on Oshish for his debut. And I don't know whether it was just the circumstances of the game and the fact that QPR were letting us have the ball, but he looked really good. I thought he had some really good touches. He came on for Burstow and mainly played on the left. He was occasionally cutting inside and that, but he looks a player too, didn't he? And you know, he gets the assist for the third goal. It was a great ball in from him. Got to give the mention to Pritchard for that one as well, because he played a cracking pass round the corner to Oshishu, puts a lovely ball across, and then it actually looks like a really difficult finish from Barr, but he kind of arrives just at the perfect time over the top of the ball, finishes it into the back of the net to make it 3-1. But yeah, just get your thoughts on them two goals then, because I think they were very different goals, but they both came after enduring spells of immense pressure from us. It was, you know, nobody on the QPR side of things can sit there and think that it wasn't coming, because it was.
Yeah, yeah. And it, like I said, I mean, after that kind of, you know, as soon as the second half started, it was kind of Jack Clark was running the show a little bit. You know, he seemed to always be in possession of the ball, and Pritchard was doing great things with it every time he got the ball. And that second goal, like you said, you know, 1-2 with Roberts, and Ballard was onside because he was kind of onside when the pass was played through. And then, but I was just a bit gutted because, to be honest, Pritchard was that close out. He was kind of that close from the keeper. I just thought, he's just going to smash this. He's going to score. And then he tried to neatly kind of tuck it into the corner and be a bit clever with it. But but thankfully, I was centre half. And I was really pleased for Ballard, because he had a tough first half. I mean, he basically had a wrestling match with Armstrong. I mean, it wasn't football what they were doing. I mean, he just had to kind of pick Armstrong up, and Armstrong was trying to knock him out and all this sort of stuff. And I think, to be honest, his celebrations, I think that was just frustration of the fight that he'd been having with Armstrong all afternoon.
Yeah.
And it was, you could tell actually the frustrations with Armstrong as well, because it was only 5 minutes after that when Armstrong kind of followed through on 09 on his head, and he'd already been booked. And you could see 09 going up to the referee and counting how many times Armstrong could get away with it. And and he looked miffed when Ainsworth brought him off, because he brought him off a sub. I was staggered he didn't do it beforehand, because he was a red card waiting to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, if he hadn't have been subbed, he would have gotten a red card, 100%.
But in the first half as well, he stood in front of a free kick, which we took, which is a yellow. How many times already of this season have, because they've really clamped down on that, that's like, now that is a yellow card. Like, you stand in the way of a free kick, you get booked straight away. Ref did let it go, and I'm thinking, he's a lucky boy. How he stayed on the pitch, both from the referee and his manager, is beyond me.
He could have had 5 or 6 yellow cards easy today. But so that's why I was glad. I was pleased for Ballard, because he'd had a hard afternoon. He'll have some bumps and bruises when he wakes up tomorrow. So he got his goal, which was good. And then we just kind of kept ploughing on. And like I said, Clark, Pritchard, Bellingham running the show until he came off. We were kind of running the show. And that third one, I mean, Pritchard again, kind of knocking it around the corner. And Oshish, yes, I mean, cracking with his left foot. And actually, it was a lovely dink ball in right to the back post, because Bark had hit it pretty much first time on the half volley with his left foot. I mean, great finish as well. I mean, kind of left foot, kind of half volley, smashed into the roof of the net and finished it off nicely. Because, to be honest, I mean, we were controlling the game, but at 2-1, you just thought, because they brought on a bunch of subs not long before that, I think. And he kind of Ainsworth just thought, right, well, we're behind. I'm going to go for it a little bit. They changed it up. And for a little period, they looked a bit better. They started knocking it about a little bit. And I just thought, a 2-1, all it takes is a daft corner or a
Sunderland
doing
it. It's Sunderland. We could be 4-1 up, and I'd still be worried.
And we needed that third one, you know, 10 minutes out. Because I just thought, the closer it gets, if it stays 2-1, the closer it gets to full-time whistle, you just know it's going to get more nervy. But yeah, brilliant, brilliant third goal. And then in injury time, the icing on the cake would have been Kamea.
I know. It's one of them, isn't it? Because about a minute before the best chance, he was really unselfish and tried to head it back across goal to Oshish, when I think he should have probably had a go himself. But fair enough, I can understand why he did it. But then that one right at the death there, Pritchard's ball in was superb. It's right on a plate. And it's actually a great save. I'm sort of looking and thinking, I don't think he's done a lot wrong there. Hemier, he's directed the header with pace towards goal, but the goalkeeper saved it. But it would have been the icing. It would have been similar to that Rigg goal against Southampton, where you finish off the game with just a really good moment. Because I think, to be honest, Hemier, when he came on, that's about as sharp as he's looked. I thought he looked really, really good. And there's a goal coming from him, I'm sure. And once one comes, they'll flow. They will. I know they will. But it was nice to see Pritchard just put them on the plate for him, and it was a theme of the game, wasn't it? But yeah, it would have been great. It would have been great if he'd scored it, but unfortunately, it didn't happen, but it will.
Yeah, it was a carbon copy of basically what we were doing in pre-season, where Pritchard was picking the ball up slightly central positions, not quite too wide, and flicking it over the top to Hamia. And I mean, that was part of the problem why Hamia kind of couldn't get much pace on the ball, because actually it was dinked in. It didn't have much pace on it. So Hamia had to find all of the pace to get it past the keeper. But it was that kind of close out that Begovic, all he needed to do was kind of do a Schmeichel and spread himself. And unfortunately for Hamia, but that would have just topped the lot, you know, that moment, yep. As you said, exactly like the last game, Hamia get up. Because like you said, I completely agree. There's a player there, and you can just tell by his touch. He held it up. He brought other players into play after he came on. And he gets into some good, he always gets into good positions. Like those two, when he received the ball, that one where he tried to nod it across and the one off Pritchard's cross, he knows where he needs to be. So all he needs to do is, like you said, is find the net with one of them, and he'll be aware. And I can see him being useful in kind of later on in the season, because I think he's going to get up and running. But yeah, good day at the office, 3-1 away from home in London, and first away win of the season, which is always good.
Yeah, we'll round off the chat on this game with some three-word reviews, I think, from Twitter or X. Again, I still don't know what to call it. I think even the commentator was having that problem, wasn't he? He kept saying X, formerly known as Twitter, and all the rest of it. But so starting us off, Kingy, Paul Kingy says, fuck off, callback. Yeah, absolutely. old Papa Mowbray says, I love Pritchard. RG Sciencia 83, he says, well fucking deserved. Lots of swearing going on. Everyone's really happy. Adam Doran says, bloody fucking brilliant. Marco Oswald, fucking class. I'll give you it.
Are you just picking those out that have got
this,
those words,
I'm literally just reading from the top of the list. Everyone's swearing. Rig says, ginger piss biscuit. Yes, perfect. That was his nickname when he left, wasn't it? And it's kind of stuck. Paul Anderson says, thanks, Jack Colback. Tim says, good 3 points. Lotta says, House of Jollof. Okay. Lee Taylor says, one hell of a squad. The Beast 13 says, some boy bar. Some cheating going on here. Paul Rackstraw says, Abdullah Bar. That's not 3 words. Eric Platten says, get in there.
Have you heard the three-word police here?
I'm going to get strict on it. GBR Macam says, we ran riot. Another one doing Abdullah Bar, Chris Day. Come on, Chris. Jordan Gowland, I just find it uncreative. Come on. Jordan Gowland says, a deal is mustard. Zach says, I am hard. Ooh, okay. Owen Sara says, limbs. Michael Crosby says, Dan Bastard Ballard. I like this week's three-word review. Everyone's being really sweary. Kevin Hodgson says, Uncle Tony's Wizards. Paul Summerside, joy to watch. Ian Graham, will end off on this one. Up yours, Ainsworth. So,
yeah.
Upbeat. Lots of people rubbing it in Colback's face and Ainsworth's face. And, you know, nice to get the upper hand on those guys, I guess.
Yeah, you can't have everything, but the only thing that and I mentioned it in the preview, or what one thing I was hoping for today, if we'd kept a clean sheet, it would have been three in a row, and that would have, and we didn't do that at all last season, and we only had two successive games on two occasions last season where we kept clean sheets, but if you look already, you know, we've only conceded two goals in the last four games. And I think that's one place where we've really started to improve this season.
Yeah. Okay, so I know we've talked for quite a while here, but we do have another game on Wednesday and there won't be a preview before that game, so we might as well quickly talk about it. Mowbray's come out after the game and gave a bunch of updates on the injuries that we saw in the game. Ekwa, which was, thankfully it's not a bad one. He had a dead leg apparently going into the game, so he was touch and go whether he'd even play. He was taken off because it sort of flared up again and we didn't want to, you know, risk it, so he came off. But hopefully that means he might be involved midweek, I guess, if he's able to train and the dead leg thing clears up. He also said Bradley Datt would be fine for Wednesday, which is good news, but I don't think, given the form of a couple of players, he'll start in this one, which probably a bit gutted about, because, you know, had he not been injured, he would have played here, then he would have went back to his old club and started. Although you never know, maybe Mowbray will look at it like that and think, I want him to go there and prove why they were wrong to get rid or whatever. You know, he did seem to leave with a bit of a I'm going to prove you wrong type attitude, didn't he? He also said that Dennis Sirkin's going to be out for around about a month, which is disappointing. I don't know what's wrong there with Sirkin. Just can't seem to get a run of games. Sirkin, can he? Seems to be injured quite a lot, which, hopefully this is the last of those problems. But he's going to be missing for around a month with a hamstring issue. But otherwise, it's business as usual. And, you know, I guess one thing that this game showed us was that, and when I say this game, I mean the one we've just won, obviously, showed us is that we've got a lot of depth on the bench. And that's kind of, with injuries, I'm not so worried at the minute, because we've got players available to us who can come in and do bits and pieces.
It does. But I think today's game was right for the substitutions that we made. Mm-hmm. The worry that I've got, and that, you know, it sprang immediately to mind when Ekwa kind of went off injured. You're thinking, I mean, let's say, for instance, that Ekwa went off today with a, you know, pulled hamstring, and then he's out for 2 months or something like that. Like, we're still short in that central midfield area in terms of players who can, you know, kind of intercept the ball, nick the ball, kind of win the ball, those ball-winning midfielders. And if we lose Dan Neil or Ekwa, you know, Pritchard showed today he is fantastic. What he is a great player, and I'm glad he stayed with the club. But then if that's the only option you've got to go to somewhere like Blackburn away, then I just still feel like we're short there. And it'll be interesting, you know, if, and I hope it doesn't happen, but if Dan Neil or Ekwa has kind of longer term injuries where they're really kind of out for a while, how we kind of cope with that. And if we've got a real long stretch without, because there's only those two who I'd consider as being natural in that position, whereas you saw today. But it was a different type of game today, and it was perfect for Pritchard to come on and play that central role. But yeah, hopefully, you know, Ek was all good to go on Wednesday night. So we'll see that. Bradley Dack, I can't see him getting back into this team for a while. The options we've got and the players who came on and did well, he'll be chomping at the bit to get involved at Blackburn, but I'm not sure there's much point. And, you know, who does he come for the bench? You know, you've got Bennett and Rigg, who were flying high after the Southampton game, who didn't get on today. So
yeah,
you know, they're going to be chomping at the bit to get on again and show what they can do. Yeah, and as a, you know, Sirkin, you know, he just seems to be. He seems to have these problems where he's out for 3 or 4 weeks, then comes back for a couple of months, then he's out for 3 or 4 weeks.
This is a different problem as well, isn't it? Hamstring.
Yeah. It's just, you know, he's just getting into a pattern now. And Dennis Sirkin, he's one who is desperate for a full season. Like, he's desperate to play. Like, 35, 40 games just to get a full, just to prove to himself he can play a full season.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel a bit sorry for him because he's the best left back in the division. I just think he's quality, absolutely quality. And we did miss him today. I don't think Huggins played too badly in that first half, but there was times in the first half where I was thinking with a more natural left back there, you know, maybe would have been better off. But yeah, he's going to be a miss for the next month or so. But, you know, with going into this game, it's a bit, like you say, it's a very different game, very different test to the game we've just played, because Blackburn are, I think they're pretty much level with us in terms of points and stuff. They've had a really good start, although they don't score many. But they've just beat Middlesbrough. But again, Borough bottom of the league, and you'd expect them to beat Middlesbrough at home, wouldn't you? The game before that, I think they got beat, didn't they? I should probably be prepared here, but yeah, they did. They lost to Plymouth. So yeah, they've won this one, but everyone was expecting them to beat Borough. I don't think they'll be looking forward to playing us. Don't think they will at all. I think teams will be looking at Sunderland and the way we're just starting to come into it, and they'll be thinking, bloody hell, this is going to be a bit of a game. But I'll be honest, I don't know much about Blackburn this season, other than that they've lost a lot of players, haven't they? And they didn't spend much in the summer. Obviously, famously with us, was that long interest they held in Danny Barton. I think in the end they just couldn't afford him. They couldn't afford to bring him in. The owners there have really cut back, but taking that into account, they've started pretty well. They lost Ben Brereton Diaz. If I say it slowly, I can do it. They lost him. He went to Spain, Villarreal, I think, and they didn't replace him in the team. And you know, that's a lot of goals that have gone out of the team. But in the Borough game, it was Sammy Smodic who got the two goals. Who's a number 10. So I'm not really sure what to make of them, really. I feel like, again, and I think I said this to you on the preview, I feel like we should win this game. But you know, Blackburn were right up there last season. They're still up there now. But I'm looking at their team and there's nothing about them that I really fear. I just look at them and think, very functional. I remember that game last year there where we basically got cheated out of the game, didn't we? They had two dodgy goals and we got a penalty decision didn't go our way in the lead up to one of the goals, and I wasn't impressed by them when we played them last year. So it's a funny game, this one.
Well, yeah, it was the referee who robbed us at their place, wasn't it? He made a couple of dodgy decisions, like you said. But I just wish they had a forward called Benson, because I just want to up there with him. Exactly, yeah. And he scored a cracking goal a couple of weeks back. I saw him kind of keep the ball up a couple of times and smash the ball in on the angle. He's a decent player, and obviously Smodics we know about. They're a different proposition to QPR completely. I think it's going to be a tougher game, much tougher game. Well, when I say tougher, I mean in a footballing sense, rather than just people smashing into you and elbows all over and wrestling with strikers and all that sort of stuff. It's going to be a bigger test on the football side, because they're a better side. They had a good win early on. The opening day, they beat West Brom at home. But that blip against Hull, and I know Hull have started off well, but you know, on paper you would have thought that they'd be beating teams like Hull at home. But like I said, Hull have started well. But then, you know, they've had a couple of decent results since. They beat Watford. But then that hammering at Plymouth wasn't great. But they got back on form with a win against Borough. And, you know, I was kind of keeping a little bit of an eye on that. And it seemed like they could have won by more. Even though Middlesbrough, seemingly by the stats, had lots of chances, Blackburn had quite a lot of really good chances and should have been more maybe than just 2-1 against Borough. So, that we can assume that Borough are crap at the minute, though. So we're not sure how good that result actually is.
Yeah, well, I'm just looking at the stats from that game. Borough had 21 shots, 6 on target, and Blackburn had 15, 8 on target. So it looks like it was quite an open game. But I think if you're playing a team right down the bottom out of form, to concede that many chances to them perhaps shows that they may be vulnerable. And I guess, you know, with all the games that we play, I think it's more about what we can do, isn't it? It's more about us, really. We know we're really good at creating chances. Doesn't matter who we play, we're going to create chances. So they've not kept clean sheets. They've conceded goals, Blackburn and we score goals. And I'm just looking at it and thinking, you know, we might have a bit too much for them in the end, but, you know, time will tell. They're up there for a reason. They've obviously had a decent start, so yeah. It's a hard one to call, ultimately.
They're quite a direct side. They're not a side who... They're not a Southampton. They don't kind of keep hold of the ball. You know, looking at some of their possession stats over the course of this season so far, I mean, looking at the Hull game, Hull had almost 60% possession at Blackburn. So we could well see a lot of the ball in that one. But at the same time, it's not going to be a QPR where they're going to just park on the edge of the box. So hopefully, I mean, if you just look at it like that, hopefully if there's some space like what happened when QPR actually came out and actually thought about having an attempt on goal, you know, if we've got some space and we've got the ball, then hopefully we'll kind of create like we did at QPR. But it'd be interesting to see what team Tony Mowbray goes with. I mean, we were talking about who might be back. Ekwe should be back. Bradley Dack be fit. But and Roberts on the bench as well. I mean, he did well when he came on. But how do you drop? How do you drop anybody? And yeah. I'm not sure, you know, Barr got that goal. And you were right, he didn't look great first half. He might have been pulled off at half time, but, you know, we'll kind of never know what Mowbray was thinking before the sending off. But yeah, I'm not sure what he's going to do. I mean, as a manager, I'd be desperate to bring Roberts back in. But at the same time, you would know it's harsh. Because yeah. Barr doesn't deserve to be dropped, but you kind of want Roberts to be back in. So I really don't. I can't guess really what Mowbray is going to do.
Nice headaches to have on the. He might go back to playing, you know, sort of Bellingham as the furthest forward player, and then bring in Roberts for Burstow. You never know.
Well, would you think about maybe changing it up to three at the back to fit an extra attacking player in?
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? Because, again, I think he's going to be a bit more wary of Blackburn than, particularly given he knows a lot about them. I think he's going to be more wary of what they can do than perhaps he was with QPR. Like I said to you on the preview, we knew what QPR would going to do.
Yeah.
You know, I could have done the bloody prep work for them to tell them, because everybody knows what Ainsworth's teams play like. With these, it's a bit different. And I know that they're not littered with stars, but they're clearly quite functional. But they concede goals. And like I say, I think you might be a bit more cautious with it. But at the same time, it's about us again. And, you know, if I'm thinking of this game, if I'm actually going to pick out things to be a little bit critical, Burstow wasn't really involved. He was probably the least involved player on the pitch other than Patterson. And we've proven that we can play without a striker. And I'm just wondering whether he might do what I've just said. Bring in Roberts for maybe Burstow and play Bellingham as far forward as he has done. And, you know, set up that way and just maybe get an extra attacking midfield player in, which I can see him doing because we've done it.
So he'd put Roberts centrally behind Bellingham.
Yeah, basically how we played in the second half when Burstow sort of came off, you know. But then again, we're talking about how do we fit Roberts in. Pritchard was man of the match, playing basically the full game. So we've got to maybe find a place. It's again, something I said on the preview pod, it's a good headache to have because it's nice to have these choices when you're in a good run of form and you can't really pick a team. You know, I'd be worried if we didn't have options and we were losing games. So ultimately I'm more than happy to be able to go into a game and have these things to worry about. It's nice, isn't it? But anyways, if I can press you for a prediction on this one, what do you think's gonna happen?
I'm gonna get splinters in my backside. I'm gonna go for a score draw. I'm gonna go 1-1.
Well, why change, you know, the way I am? I'm gonna predict a win, aren't I? 2-0 Sunderland, I'm saying. I don't fancy Blackburn to be able to keep us out. But I can't see it.
You're right, though. I don't think Blackburn are as good as they are last season. I can't see them. Well, you know, they started off all right, but I can't see them being as good as they were last season. I think they're a worse side after the summer. So, I mean, like I said, we were robbed last season and we should have won there. So, yes, I hope that happens. But I just think it is a tough game, especially during the... It's not one of those places you want to go to during the week either. I don't know why. It's just got that feeling about it. So I'll be happy to take a point away from there.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll be back with a review pod. So we tried to bundle as much into this one as we could. So I thought, hopefully we have. We've just done an hour or so. So cheers, Chris. Appreciate your time as always, mate.
No worries. And I'll look forward to reviewing a board draw during the week now that I've said it's a score draw.
Absolutely. Cheers to listeners. Thanks, as always, for joining us. Make sure you pre-order our book. I'm going to keep plugging this. It's on the Love Supreme website, SFC365. You can grab the link from there. It's also on the top of pretty much every article on the website. So head over to our website. You'll be able to find it there. It's only £10. All the profit goes to Southern Community Soup Kitchen, written mainly and put together mainly by the man sat across from us. So if you like Chris, make sure you do him a favour and the Soup Kitchen a favour and buy that book. We will be back after the game with something. I'm not sure what. It'll be a preview, review, preview type thing, as this one was. And also make sure on Friday night you join us for Friday Night Live over on X/Twitter from 8 p.m. It's another podcast basically, but it's all live and you can join it. So if you want more of us, then grab that. If you're sick of hearing about us, then maybe you don't want to grab it. Cheers, everybody. We'll be back after the next game.
I didn't understand it. You can't mean that. Oh, now, baby, please. What you trying to do to me?
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.